Book of Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Verse 13. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadi kalatra dishu bauma ijadi yatirtha buddhi salile nakahichich janesh vabhi geshu sa eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsman, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies. But now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers, and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life, which is condemned in the Shastras. So eva gokara, such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advises family members that although the gross body of his brother Hiranyaksha was dead, and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul Hiranyaksha, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchanged. Avikala Puman. We are spirit souls, but when carried away by mental activities, manodharma, we suffer from so-called mature conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees. Harav Abhaktasya Kuto Mahadgunan. The non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit and its exalted existence beyond the effects of the material condition. In the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross body, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Nama Om Vishnuvadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamniti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitarne Vanchikalpa Chubhista Kripa Sindhavyavita Patitanam Pavnibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha. Just recently, as he's talking, oh my gentle mother, I went to see my mother for Mother's Day. I was wondering whether I should do, because it's sometimes not quite so transcendental as I'd like it to be. But I was reflecting on the fact that Rupa Goswami went to clear up his family business for one whole year before he actually joined Lord Chaitanya. So he actually spent that whole year taking the responsibility of finishing off his family responsibilities. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada says those responsibilities are considered devotional service. At the same time, I was reflecting on how we can misuse Shastra sometimes. I was thinking every man's meant to consider every woman except his wife to be his mother. So I was thinking it could have been a very expensive Mother's Day. If I had to buy flowers for every mother, right? Would have been. I'm sure some of the ladies would have liked it if they all got flowers. But we have to be careful how we apply Shastra. It can be very expensive. I actually borrowed my wife's car to go up there. And it's a very small little car. I will joke with her that you probably have to pedal it. 600 cc's. And I also borrowed her sat-nav. I've never used one before. Of course, being a man, I don't need one. Satellite navigation thing, right? So, very useful little tool. I was sort of playing with it a little bit. And there's two things, of course, you have to do when you're getting anywhere, is you have to find out where you're going And you have to find out where you are. Of course, with the sat-nav, it automatically works from the satellite and it finds out where you are. So those two things are very necessary in spiritual life. We're going on a journey, the journey of life. Hopefully we're not going around in circles like going around the M25, like the materialists are, getting nowhere. So we need to know those two things, where we are and where we're going. Where we are, of course, is very important. Srila Prabhupada talks a lot about Varnashram Dham, how we have to know the different natural conditions of the living entity. Varnashram Dham isn't imposed. Naturally, you'll find intellectuals, you'll find capitalists, you'll find people who want to push people around, administrators, and you'll find shudras in every society. It's a natural occurring thing. And the other thing is this, where we're going, understanding, quite simply, we're not the body. I was just thinking when I got this class, sometimes people say to me, oh, Srila Prabhupada's purports are quite boring. They say, I'm fed up of reading the same old thing again and again, which I admire people for their honesty. Sometimes we might be scared to say that, trying to look like a devotee. At the same time, I don't find it boring, frankly. Even the same old thing, you're not the body. I'm sure if my mother was told repeatedly on Mother's Day, I love you, I'm sure she wouldn't get bored of it, right? If something's fine, is it boring? If you have a jewel, is it boring? Right? So these are jewels that we're being told we're not the body. It's just that when we're conditioned, we don't appreciate those jewels. Sometimes we prefer the stool of this world. Of course, a jewel can also be looked at from many angles. So it can be very interesting. Not as interesting, but when we apply it, then it becomes really more interesting. Someone also said to me the other day, because as you know, I teach Hinduism in schools. Someone said to me, I wouldn't like to do that because I'd have to compromise my Krishna consciousness. I'd have to compromise my Krishna consciousness or give up my Krishna consciousness. And I said, well, I understand that, but to tell you the truth, I don't feel as if I'm compromising my Krishna consciousness one little bit. I'm getting the chance to go into schools and tell all these students and children they're not the body. It's great. No problem. Who else is doing that? Which other books on Hinduism clearly state it? Which other New Age books on spirituality say as clearly as Srila Prabhupada, you're not the body? I haven't found any. I haven't found one. I think I told you before, there's this book called Hinduism for Dummies, and I looked all the way through it. It's a huge book. Nowhere does it mention you're not the body. It sort of skirts around it a little bit in a feathery way, you know. But nowhere does it say it. So Srila Prabhupada mentions somewhere that when you want to, well, it's the same in this country, when you want to grow things, but when you want to grow rice in India, then you first of all have to cut the weeds away. Same when we wrote that book on Hinduism, we had little on it. We had different sections. It's quite difficult understanding, you know, trying to work out how to present a book because Krishna consciousness, you've got so much stuff, right? So much knowledge we get. How do you put it into different sections? It was quite difficult. But then in each section, we put a common misconception, right? Cutting away the misconceptions. Things like Hindus believe there's many gods and they're all aspects of the one Brahman. Misconception. Hinduism is world negating. Misconception. We want to give up the world, but we have to embrace the world to give it up. Many times in life we have to embrace some problem to get over it. So we have to embrace this world, we have to face this world to give it up. Yukta Vairagya, that's one of the main messages we're getting across when we teach, because people think Hinduism is about sadhus and people sitting on their backsides doing nothing, right? They have these misconceptions. So the same, what's the misconception? We cut down the weeds before we grow the rice, the misconception. Actually, someone said to me recently, said, oh, I thought you were very negative. I was giving a talk to some sixth formers, and I had one teacher, I think she was a feminist or something, but she was very, didn't like my presentation. And she, it's unusual, most of them like it, but she, you know, occasionally you get someone like that. Keeps you on your toes, you know. And she said, oh, I thought you were very negative. I thought Krishna consciousness could stand on its own basis without putting others down. And I thought, yes, that's the point. But at the same time, point taken, but the point, you know, we don't want to be just putting the karmis down and that makes us feel better. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada was very cutting. It's necessary to cut those weeds and misconceptions away. It's no use trying to understand reincarnation. You know, you try telling kids about reincarnation, they're trying to work out what's reincarnated if you don't tell them they're not the body. First of all, you've got to say you're not the body, otherwise they're trying to work out what's coming back. You've got to make that very clear first. So we have to cut down those weeds first. So we have to point out this big misconception. Srila Prabhupada says, Dehino Saminyata Dehe Kumar. There's more knowledge in that than there is in all the universities in the world, in that one shloka. It's quite, Krishna consciousness is very, very simple in one sense. So we have to cut those weeds, and sometimes our preaching has to be a little cutting. Has to be a little cutting. The Srila Prabhupada says, asses. That's quite cutting. Is he saying it out of insecurity? Is he saying it through name calling to make himself feel better? No. It's a fact. We had a book years ago called, you remember that one, Intellectual Animalism, on the front. I didn't like it. I thought it was a bit too strong. You should show all these students with donkey's heads and pig's heads and things. So sometimes people don't like it when we preach like that. It's one of the common things they say, what's wrong with animals? What's wrong with animals? I usually say, nothing, we don't eat them. But there's nothing wrong with an animal. Just, I was thinking about it. This came up, I think, last time, maybe not the last time, but one time this verse came up. Someone said, well, how come we're calling people who are foolish, how come we're calling them cows when a cow is so sacred? But one, I don't know if I made that point then, but it's just like if someone, you know, I do it sometimes, I start throwing tantrums, you know. You ever do that? Even when you're older, you throw tantrums. My wife says, you shouldn't be throwing tantrums at your age, right? If we start acting childlike, childish, when we're older, it's not appropriate, right? We shouldn't throw tantrums, you know, we should be able to communicate. If a child throws tantrums, that's okay. When the child's 2 years old and you're teaching it, there's nothing wrong. Is there something wrong with children? You say, you know, don't be childish. Does that mean we don't like children? No, children are protected. But if a grown-up's acting like a child, of course, there's nothing wrong with being innocent, but if we're, you know, negative way we're being like a child, it's all right if we're being positive like a child. If we're being negative like a child, it's wrong. So it's not a case of something being wrong or something being right. It's a case of a certain thing, the wrong thing, you know, in the wrong context, then it's very bad, right? So there's nothing wrong with animals. Animal's an animal. Just as in Krishna consciousness, we have to be who we are. I mentioned this. We have to know where we are. We have to know, that's what Srila Prabhupada said, we need Varnashram Dham. We need to know where we are in this world. And what's happening in modern society is people don't accept where they are. People are being told, don't accept your position. Try and rise up. Why? Because as soon as you try and rise up, you have to spend more. And that keeps the economy going. Social mobility, so people can rip you off, right? So people aren't satisfied anymore. When I was a kid, people were much more satisfied in their position in society. Now people aren't satisfied. You've got to rise up. Great. You're making people unsatisfied, dissatisfied. Nice service to people. So there's nothing wrong with being who you are, but as soon as we try and be who we're not, that becomes a real problem, right? It becomes a big problem. As soon as we try and act a little bit who we're not, it can be, it's a falsity, it's dishonesty. Dishonesty causes big problems. It starts off with a little dishonesty, it gets to a big thing. So there's nothing wrong with animals, but if a human being's being like an animal, then that is a serious, serious mistake. And has far-reaching consequences. So actually Srila Prabhupada in one place in the Gita, I think you know that, he says, you know, if so-called leaders could overcome all the problems of the world simply by surrendering unto Krishna, why don't they do it? And Srila Prabhupada says, because they're not leaders. They're not leaders. That's all we're used to. We're used to imitation. Sometimes they do those with animals, don't they? They got those monkeys and they give them surrogate monkey, a little monkey mum, right? You give a little puppy or something, a little furry doll, and it thinks it's its real mum, right? because it's never experienced. It's never experienced the real thing. So we've never experienced real leaders. The only way we experience is through the books. And then we say, ah, Maharaj Parikshit, he's a real leader. When he sees someone killing a cow, he takes his sword out. Touch that cow and I'll touch you. Right? He's a real leader. But we haven't experienced it. So Srila Prabhupada says, philosophers, he mentions philosophers, some scientists, he says it's all the babbling of children. Again, nothing wrong with children, but you don't always take them too serious when they're talking and when they're saying sort of incoherent things. I read a book about this. It says, you have to take them seriously. Parents have to take, if parents don't take children seriously, the children will end up pretty screwed up. But you can't take them too seriously. If you're very busy, sometimes there's times when you have to say, yes, okay, yes, okay. The same with these people, these politicians. We can't take them too seriously. They're only posing, just like Kali was posing as a king. He was dressed as a king. He simply thought by putting the dress on, he could become a king. So that's what leaders do. They simply think externally, I look like a leader, and I'm a leader. And education, well, I don't know what it is about education. People seem to think education will solve everything. Actually, in the States now, I was listening, they're cutting down because of the recession and all the financial crisis. There's going to have to be cuts. They can't afford anything. The standard of life has got to go down. They haven't got the money. And no one wants to say it. They don't want to say we can cut your health care. Why? Because it makes them look bad and they're interested in position, right? If they don't cut healthcare, they'll have to cut education. Nobody likes that. So that they're actually, no one's admitting where they're going to have to make cuts because they don't want to. But it's the reality. I was actually at a school the other day, and I was on a panel with two Christians, different types of Christians, and a Muslim fella. And we were asked about 10 questions each and had to answer them in front of about 300 students. And they said, why is it, do you think that drug abuse and drinking is on the increase, and why? And I said, it's because democracy doesn't always work. It might be the best thing we got now, but when you've got democracy, nobody wants to stand up and say you can't do it, because as soon as they say that, people are going to kick them out, not going to vote them in. Very simple. No one's got the guts to do it. Just like Mahatma Gandhi, he cut gambling, and they went to him and said, Mahatma, if you stop gambling, we won't have the money. He says, no problem. Do it. Do it anyway. That's called principles. Principles. Principles means that even if I have to pay something for it, I'll go ahead and do it. Just like we're doing Krishna consciousness. I want to become Krishna conscious. What's the price they pay? I'll do it. Someone once said to me, if you're a recovering alcoholic, if someone's an alcoholic, they say to them, what will you do to give up alcohol? They've got to say anything. You can strip me naked, hang me upside down in the street. I'm prepared to do it, to give it up. And it's almost like that with Krishna consciousness. We have to, fix determination. I'm going to do it, whatever it takes. Sometimes it's like that when we're preaching, isn't it? When we're preaching, it's, whatever. You've got to make something happen. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. He said, do a pandal program. Make it happen. Nowadays I find people saying, Prabhu, I can't do it because of this. Prabhu, I can't do it because of that. No. Make it happen. If something comes in the way, do it. There's a way to do it. That takes resourcefulness and determination. So actually, the West is just a sham of civilization, sham of philosophers, sham of educators. Even their philosophers, I've not studied philosophy so much, but even René Descartes, the one that at least he talks about the mind-body problem, right? He says there's a difference between the mind and the body. I was thinking, what a great choice. You can either think you're the body or you can think the mind. I don't know which is more painful. Right? It didn't even have the eye. I don't know about you, I think the mental platform is more painful than the physical platform sometimes. Of course, they're connected. But no even understanding of the soul, actually. So manodharma's completely taken away by the mental platform, actually, speculation. Actually, when I was driving my wife's car, as I say, it's a tiny little car, it's a bit bigger than a Mini. And as I was going along the M6 near Birmingham, one group of It must have been Hindus came past in a car. I don't know if it was actually, because it wasn't a Mercedes. But anyway, it came past, and they were laughing as they went past. And for a minute, I thought, what are they laughing at? I don't know what it was. I thought it was my seeker, but I don't know. What? And then I thought, maybe they're laughing at my car. And then I thought about, I should have that sign, you know. You know, those bumper stickers, you know, my other car is a Porsche, right? And then I thought, well, that's a material concept. I'm thinking, I'm feeling embarrassed because I'm in a small car. Right? So similarly we're feeling, you know, man, woman, this car, that car, right? Same business. We tend to identify with the externals. I tell the story that when I was a kid, me and my twin brother, we used to have a Vauxhall. Whenever we used to see someone in the same car, we used to wave at them, right? And then we had one of those old Morrises that used to have the wooden things, and we used to see one. They're quite rare, and we used to wee, and we'd all wave back, right? We're friends because we've got the same car, right? So it's the same thing. I caught myself doing it. I was actually feeling embarrassed. Oh, I'm in a little car. Don't they know I've got my car's, you know. I kind of wanted to put my foot down and take them over. Right? Ego, right? Same business. Identifying with. And what was my solution? My solution was, I'll show them I've got a Porsche. So Srila Prabhupada says, no, that's not the solution. Making this, you know, what do they say? You cannot make us. There's some saying like that. You can't solve a problem by acting on the same platform as made the problem, right? You have to have a shift in the way you think. So that's the way a materialist is thinking. I was thinking, get a better car, right? But I'm not my car. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada mentions quite clearly that trying to make life better, as people are doing nowadays, it's simply like moving a load from one place to another. You've got the load on your head, you put it on your shoulder, you carry the suitcase like that, you carry the suitcase with your left hand, you carry it with your right hand. Ultimately, you're carrying the load. And that's what you can see that in politics now. They're all worried about the pain. There's going to be pain. They say, we've been enjoying. That's a mode of passion, right? Enjoy first, suffer later, right? So we've been enjoying. There's going to be pain. But One party saying, oh, we'll cut education. One saying, oh, we'll cut this. But they're just juggling the pain. The pain's going to go somewhere. There's no solution. No solution at all. Just Srila Prabhupada said, what's the use of replacing one hallucination with another? No. You're just no good. You've got to wake up from the dream. And of course, that's what yoga means. Yoga is the process of pulling the mind back from the dream. Like when you're watching television. You're suffering because of the television you're enjoying. You have to pull your mind back. And it's very difficult. The mind keeps wanting to go to the television. And you're talking to someone. You keep watching the television. You've got to pull the mind back. Pull the mind back. Then you don't identify with whatever's going on there. The mind is the manodharma. It's mentioned here. The mind is the center for accepting the dictates. We all have a dictator. For the dictates of this material energy, the mind is the center for that. And if the mind's controlled, then automatically we're out of trouble. But unfortunately, people want to keep us asleep. Leaders want to keep us asleep. Educators want to keep us asleep. Why? Because if you keep people in ignorance, you can rule them. Very simple. Srila Prabhupada says also, even religious people, they want to keep their congregations in ignorance. Then they maintain their positions. But a real Brahmin wants to lift people up. Srila Prabhupada mentions that. He wants to lift people up. Not attached. If you become greater than me, okay. I'm not attached. You can become greater than me. I like to see you becoming greater than me. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki. People they want people that want to keep people in ignorance. Why? Because then they spend more. People can make more out of them. And actually, the body has become an obsession. Actually, bodily comforts become a complete obsession. If you read some of the things that are doing, I just recently I heard Dave Was it a couple of days ago they've stopped sunbeds for under 18s? It's now illegal for people under 18 to use sunbeds because of the high risk of cancer. We're being punished. Didn't Srila Prabhupada say that we're being punished? If you go to places where there's no sun, that's a punishment for sinful activities. And then we try and overcome it by having sunbeds. What's the result? Make things worse. So Srila Prabhupada also says the difficulty is in Ishopanishad. So-called knowledge is more dangerous than plain ignorance. Just to be a fool is one thing, but to have all this glare, all this glitter of material knowledge, look how well we're doing, look how good it is, that's more dangerous because it looks so nice. Looks so nice. So our job is to wake people up, and we won't necessarily be very popular for that. I was in a school the other day, and I was talking about this tradition. This was a difficult one. I was actually giving a talk on women's role in Hinduism, and my wife was meant to go, I couldn't go, and it was a pretty tricky. And a couple of girls really did not like it. Really did not like it. But people won't like what we say. They might not. Of course, we should try and make it as palatable as possible, but we don't change the philosophy just to make it palatable. Again, I had that experience the other day. I had a group of students, and as soon as I was mentioned, you're not the body, I looked and I could see all these faces really glued and, you know, just completely sort of taken in by it. It's a very, very powerful message. Very, very powerful message. Recently I had one where one of the teacher came and told me afterward, one of the boys asked me a question on reincarnation, and she said the previous week he'd lost his mother to cancer. So we're dealing with real life, and she said it helped him. She said it helped him. Of course, in one sense, we're already Krishna conscious. I gave the example of the sat-nav. We're trying to get from one place to another, but in one sense we're already there. When you look up at the moon at night, and I love those nights when you go to a nice southwesterly wind and you see all the clouds going off the moon. In summer especially, when you've got, you know, not very thick clouds and they're going across the moon, and the moon seems to be soaring through the sky. It looks like it's moving really fast, but is it? No. It's just the clouds are moving. It makes the moon look as it. So similarly, the soul is fixed. Srila Prabhupada wants us to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. We find also, even in everyday life, people are fixed in themselves. Life's going on here, they feel quite steady. But sometimes people get ungrounded, right? They're being pulled by this. So just being fixed. You know, I'm here, life's going on around me. We used to have I'm not used to computer games, but we used to have a game, 1970 or something, we used to go to the arcades, and it was one of the early sort of games where you had a little sort of picture like you were in a racing car, and it used to go left or right with a little wheel, and then behind it there was a film of the racing track, right? So you used to look at the car and you could make it go left or right, and because the track was moving you think, wow, now I'm going fast, right? But actually it's just still, but because there's a film of the racing track coming towards you. You think you're moving, but you're not. It's in the same way. The soul is fixed. As this material energy goes past us, we think we're moving. And of course, people think they're progressing. That's the big illusion. Think they're progressing. We need to challenge people on that. We need to challenge people. Are we actually progressing? And we need to make it real as well. I mean, one of the Indian devotees was telling me the other day that they had some temples in India where they had pillars made of solid gold. The pillars in the temple were made of solid gold. But if we want to make it a bit more real to people, I just tell them the example that someone told me in the 1920s a girl in India wouldn't wear silver. It had to be gold. 24 carat, not the rubbish you get from Argos, 9 carat gold. It had to be really good. Sometimes we need to bring things closer to make people understand we're not progressing. I think a lot of I don't know about, yeah, I think a lot of people are understanding, actually. A lot of people, when I talk to them when preaching, they say, oh yeah, life's mad. It's mad. How long can it go on? Right? They've had enough. So, of course, we're already there, so Krishna consciousness is not a difficult thing. It's natural. Srila Prabhupada gives that example of a child learning to walk. It might seem artificial when you're teaching a child to walk, but the ability is already there. It just needs a certain few exercises, a certain things you do to bring out that ability. So in the same way, this sadhana bhakti is a way to bring out that natural Krishna consciousness. Not artificial, and it's actually Lord Chaitanya's desire that we go out and preach and tell people they're not the body. Very simple message, but a very rewarding message as well when we give it to people. And Srila Prabhupada does mention that without vigyan, without understanding, it's useless. Just simply to preach, I'm not this body, right? Then I go out and I see the maha, so I push in front of everybody. I've got to look after my body first, right? That's not vigyan. Vigyan might be, there might be a guest standing there with a, looking for a plate. I'm not going to die if I don't get mahaprasadam. And so by preaching, we actually get some of that realization. And Srila Prabhupada says, without vigyan, there's no satisfaction. And satisfaction is what we're after. So there needs to be that vigyan as well. So that's our job, to tell people where they're going. Like I said, when you've got the sat-nav, you just press. There's one button, it says home. So my wife tells me she can go anywhere in the country, and then when she's done her work preaching, she just presses the button home, and automatically the sat-nav tells you where to go and brings you home. And if you make a wrong mistake, what's it do? It says recalculating, and then it sends you back on another route. So with Krishna consciousness, we have no worry. Even if we do go wrong, Krishna recalculates and pushes us back on track. So we'll get back home. And when we get back home, Srila Prabhupada says, no matter how difficult the journey, and so it's hard, isn't it, driving? I find it terrific, strange sometimes driving. But once you get back home, you forget about it immediately, you just relax. So Srila Prabhupada says, once we get back home to Krishna consciousness, then all the painful journey and some of the austerities, it'll just be gone. Srila Prabhupada ki.